For the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they might have life, and have it abundantly. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. He has loosed the fearful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. My jaw dropped from a million miles away. As far as I'm aware, I'm now discovering for the first time ever that someone could be so exciting to talk to. But as far as I'm aware, in this moment, there's hardly anything else of which to be aware. And I can't help but think that I want to know everything there is to know about her, because she is so captivating. What it means to me to be attracted to a girl. Tells me about things she dreams of doing in the future. I dream of a future in which I could dream them alongside her. We take turns telling about her projects, both those recently completed and those still deep in the folds of undetermined possibility. We make inquiries and suggestions and take pleasure in the sense of shared interests. Each new utterance is like a newly discovered continent, a delightful and enthralling discovery, a destination from which one can reach perhaps an infinite number of other possible destinations, each as exciting as the last. This mutual excitement is both the rolling sea beneath us and the wind in our sails as we speed from one uncharted land to the next, scarcely pausing for air amidst the salt spray breeze and the foam-crested exhilaration that propels us on. I make the foolish yet wise decision to allow myself to momentarily forget that despite its vigor, our vessel cannot outpace its steadily approaching expiration. I turn a blind eye as it slips my mind that this voyage, which seems to have brought to life something at the very core of my being, is to be nothing more than a mere incidental feature of the landscape of my existence, and not, as it seems, a discovery of a previously missing component or the beginnings of a less lonely flavored stretch of sea. Nor might it have been in any possible world, aside from the one that I had erected in my imagination like a pop-up tent fortress against despair, a sandcastle at once both solid and frail, both real and imaginary, and in which I had foolishly yet wisely taken up residence for as long as possible. Temporarily, but as far as I intended to be aware, forever. And yet, despite these efforts to submerge the truth of the situation beyond recognition, the awareness defied my attempts to make it sink beyond the depths of my conscious mind, such that my small success in refusing it access to the surface seemed almost a mockery, because somewhere deep down, but not deep down enough, I knew that the tide would eventually change, and turn from buoying up my fantasy to sweeping away my sandcastle. Indeed, despite the impression that it gave, there was nothing particularly vital about this expedition, and even beyond its point of disembarkment, life would go on, or else stop for lack of any sufficiently rousing gale. And it has gone on. She remarks with some amusement that I, being for some time engaged in eager and frantic locution, have not yet touched my sandwich beyond removing it from the bag. As a solution, she takes it upon herself to speak instead, and I am certainly far from displeased to hear whatever she might generously impart, and quiet myself with joyful anticipation, knowing that whatever she is poised to tell me, regardless of the subject, will by nature of the source tell me more of her. Unburdened from the task of speech, I am understood to have been freed to apply my jaw to my lunch, but to her later amusement, that possibility goes unrealized, because I opt, inconspicuously I hope, to instead feast my eyes on the newly appointed oratress seated opposite me. And I somehow manage to listen while trying persistently to convince myself that the best response to what she is saying is undoubtedly not that she has the most beautiful hair and eyes that I have ever seen. And I am normally hopeless when it comes to multitasking, but I suspect that she is magic. But when she finishes speaking, the spell, too, is brought to a halt, and my trains of thought promptly resume their efforts to run concurrently on the same track, resulting in a lateral collision between, "That's so interesting," and "Tell me more," and "How the heck are your ears so friggin' cute?" And I'm glad that that last one did not prevail. Not at first, nor at any point after. A commonly occurring ambiguity comes up, and without thinking, I wryly point it out. This is so much of a reflex response that I scarcely expect more than the equally routine half-snort or slight upturn of the mouth that my friends give almost as automatically. But the way she laughs, as if I've been very clever and shown her something wonderful, transmutes its mundanity into something transcendently precious and awe-inspiring. Brilliant sparks of association spur us on to exchange some favorite facts and interdisciplinary experiences. If, while she speaks, the universe whispers the secrets of the divine, seeking to impart them to me, it is in vain, because I am deaf to all voices but hers. God himself would be hard-pressed to divert my attention, even if he offered to tell me, for instance, where on earth this girl has been my whole life, and why on earth it was fitting to delay my discovery of her for so long. We talk about how each of our weaknesses corresponds to the strength of the other, and I find this marvelous, and it gives me a new appreciation of myself, and also, most wonderfully, of her. And I unexpectedly found myself telling her about how I'm questioning my gender, and explaining that it's kind of scary and I don't even really know what I want just yet. But in hindsight, upon reconsideration, only one of those statements was true. I would have spoken more accurately to describe myself as yes, still unsure of my gender identity, but quite certain of wanting to be with her always. She says she's only attracted to men, and that can mean a number of things. I have many other friends who are also attracted to men, and they say that they like guys who are very tall, or have broad shoulders, or big hands. And I've always wanted to be very tall, and have broad shoulders and big hands. But you know, at this point I think it's pretty safe to say that it's just not in the cards for me. And that's reality. She was only attracted to men, and that could have meant a number of things, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it could mean, because what matters is that what it really meant, and all it really means, is that she's not attracted to me, and she never will be. What matters is that I will never ever matter to her, the way that she shouldn't matter to me. But she does. She matters because I'm an idiot. I'm an idiot because I think I know what I want in life. But in reality, I know absolutely nothing. And that's reality. I don't know why I can't just accept it and surrender my desires to God. It is the smart thing to do, but I just can't let go. This is what it means to me to be attracted to a girl.
The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it?
For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks, but they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools, and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, and of birds, and four-footed animals, and crawling creatures. No, it is not myself. It is only what I mistakenly think I am. God knows who I am, not me. So it is not being myself, it is going against God. No, that is a misconception. God did not make me the way I am. I am also distorted by the fall. There is falsehood in me. I want to die. I am not a man. I am a girl. A very sad girl. Yes, but just because I like being called by that name or wearing certain clothes doesn't make me trans. Because just wanting a man body does not make you a man. I feel happy, I think, when people refer to me as a boy. But I also feel guilt. And maybe I am deceiving myself and telling myself that I feel happy when referred to as male because I want to be. Because I am being defiant against God. Because I do not wish to be a girl. Because I would prefer a male body, although I am not male. I don't know. The brain is a very tricky thing. It can fool itself. I do not trust myself. Sometimes I view myself like a character in a book. I am writing a novel. It is very poignant. Actually, I do this a lot, make myself out to be some kind of character with recurring themes. I am usually a romantic hero who has been wrongfully slighted by the world, but who sticks to his values and is noble and goes down with the ship tragically yet heroically. Her values! Frick! I am clearly just confused because male is the default gender, and males are usually given the lead roles in storylines where there is a hero. I am not a boy. I just want to be a hero, and have a beard, and be manly and cool. This shows that I do not think that being womanly is cool. I'm confused. It is misogyny. I am not a man. I am merely confused. I don't know why I can't just accept it and surrender my desires to God. It is the smart thing to do, but I just can't let go of the small, glimmering possibility. You adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is hostility towards God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. The mind set on the flesh cannot please God. Therefore, God gave them over in the lusts of their hearts to impurity, so that their bodies would be dishonored among them. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Questa forma riammirata, sempre più ma mai abbastanza. Lei è un continente di cui i bordi sembrano di essere stabiliti da lui che è sia l'artista più bravo che il partizionatore più giusto, poiché ognuno di essi è un capolavoro di completo mancante di linee mal aggiustate. Così che ciascuno di essi non sia costa malfatta, ma ria bellissima agli occhi dell'orfano, che sempre cercava il paese in cui si sarebbe sentito a casa, che avrebbe fatto l'anima rianimarsi, e il cuore battere con passione. You could have heard my jaw drop from a million miles away. As far as I'm aware, I'm now discovering, for the first time ever, that someone could be so exciting to behold. But as far as I'm aware, in this moment, there's hardly anything else of which to be aware. And I can't help but think that I want to know her the way that Adam knew Eve, because she is so enthralling. My God. Wow. This is what it means for me. Attracted to a girl. As she stands, she draws her feet together, closing the space that separates arch from arch so that they meet beneath her neatly like milk or cookies. So like one another, yet opposite. Counterparts, yet two parts of the same whole. And from that fitting junction rise her calves, twin columns sleek yet sturdy. Of these, the subtle divergent trajectory foreshadows the more striking strokes, dictated by the breadth of pelvis that enlists her femurs in the work of rendering outwardly visible that much admired quality, femininity. And indeed, there is little that inspires more awe than this regal mark of so elegantly embodied womanhood. But while lesser in glory than its object, the forerunner is nonetheless a delight, in that it renders its fulfillment more fulfilling through the instillment of anticipation. Thus her calves partake in and enhance the splendor of the expanses of leg that they support, serving as a promise of something both fulfillment and consummation, as John the Baptist did, who prepared the way for the Lord, and in doing so, shared in the glory of the divine. Her flanks seem to beckon to me with their sensuous convexity, like two hairpin markings in a symphonic masterpiece, promising a thrilling surge that overtakes the senses. The apex of this crescendo is at her core, towards which it seems to funnel the searing coils of energy I can feel roiling in mine, like a snake ready to strike, sinuous and serpentine and restless. The air is alight with something primitive that congeals into flame on its way down my windpipe, but I scarcely notice it as I watch her emerge from her garment, the way that one might watch bread rise in a time-lapse video. Except instead of being accelerated, time seems to have stopped. She pauses. I wonder if the universe, too, is holding its breath at the sight of how she looks halfway half-dressed, how her jeans are pressing into her plush hips and upper thighs, suspended only by the elegant curvature of her form. From shoulders delicately statuesque to calves thickly elegant, she is the perfect balance of softness and definition. And I find myself mesmerized by the way that everything moves when she moves, and even a little bit after. I want to touch her both everywhere and nowhere, both right now and never, because I almost can't stand just watching, because I feel like I could watch her do this forever. It freezes me on the spot even as it lights me on fire, the way the swell of her thighs burgeons out against around the cuffs of those blessed shorts, this the ripe fruition of their girth, their spread, their rise. And the place where these meet one another, press close in kinship, to me seems to invoke the sacred manifestation of desire incarnate. There's nothing I want more than to feel those full, gorgeous legs and supple hips under my palms, my fingers, my everything, and I can't help but think that she is either indisputable evidence of intelligent design, or the very consummation of the evolution of the human race. My God. Wow. This is what it means to me to be attracted to a girl. My god. Yes. If I woke up tomorrow as a cis man, I would be happy. I think my life would still be uncertain, and I would still be afraid of the future a little. But it would be better. Would I press the button? Yes, if it made me a cis man. I wish the button were real, so that I could have a functioning penis and make sperm. If I were a cis man, I could be at peace with myself. I could be a man, and not question if I really was. If I were a cis man, I could also be a straight man, without having to feel like I was gay, and needed to surrender it to God. I want the button. I want to die. I don't know why I can't just accept it. It is the smart thing to do, but I just can't let go. So, what am I supposed to do, huh? Just unequivocally give up everything for something that's only ambiguously true? Where, like, the only consolation would be that at least it wasn't falsifiable? Made the truth evident? What kind of evidence is this, excuse me? You'd think that you'd make it a little bit clearer which one is the truth? I mean, look, if this wishy-washy self-affirmers are right, then that makes this fundamentalist dogma toxic and won't allow the proliferation of a poison. Un poisson est si bon. Que voir si ton film ne peut pas le distinguer. But if the fundamentalists are right, then why the frick do some people get to be wishy-washy self-affirmers and live in blissful ignorance and think that they've got the Holy Spirit on their side or whatever? On reconnaît les loups par ses fruits. Mais un loup peut-il se reconnaître si les loups mangent pas le fruit? Alors, entrez par la porte étroite. Mais on sait pas si on y soit entré.
What's the point of having the abundant life if you can't even really tell if the abundant life that you have is the real one? What do you really get from living life to the full if you can't even really tell if you're really doing it or not?
Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Lord, I know that people's lives are not their own. It is not for them to direct their steps. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. Gave them over to degrading passions, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural, and in the same way also the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire towards one another, men with men committing indecent acts and receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. Queste terre interesse impopolate di popoli, di persone, secondo un gran disegno tuo. Ma te create, o iniziatori, e tutte programmate tutto per eseguire la tua buona volontà, tutte riservate per l'aumento della tua gloria.
Woe to the one who quarrels with his maker, an earthenware vessel among the vessels of the earth.
Yeah, but why can't I just do what I'm supposed to do and surrender to God? I haven't even tried. I have not tried. Because I don't friggin' want to. No, I'm not trying to please others. I'm just trying to be at peace with my own self. And I don't think I can be. It's too late. I'm stuck with the beliefs that I have. I cannot get away from them. They prevent me from being at peace, but pushing them away makes me not at peace too. There is no way. The only way to have peace is to accept that life is not about happiness and just give up everything, self-denial. I have not tried it. I don't want to.
The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. Submit, therefore, to God. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You are confused. You think that the clay is equal to the potter.
You think that an object can tell the one who made it.
You didn't make me.
This is like a pot telling its maker. You don't know anything. On the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? The thing molded will not say to the molder, "Why did you make me like this?" will it? Or does not the potter have a right over the clay to make from the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for common use?
Il re a fare le regole, a lottare con l'autore del dramma e a macarsi di funzione, perché la funzione di ogni personaggio fu scelta prima che fu la scena, e non sei tu capace di cambiare nulla. Si è assegnato il ruolo dell'orefice, e noi quello dell'oro impuro. Lui è il vasaio, siamo noi i vasi di Creta, ed è Cretò l'operaio fin dall'inizio. Che le sue opere dovrebbero suonare la sua sinfonia.
Left alone to our own devices, we are not what we should be, because God alone enables us to fulfill His design for our lives. So if something's not in the cards for you, that just means that you weren't given that role to play, and that's okay.
There is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord. Woe to the one who quarrels with his maker. An earthenware vessel among the vessels of the earth.
This is what it means to me to be attracted to a girl. It means wanting to kiss her, because my mother was a germaphobe, but she seems clean to me for some reason. It means wanting to date her, because I'm otherwise uninterested in marriage, but she seems different to me for some reason. It means wanting to die, because I'm otherwise not suicidal, but this situation seems hopeless to me for some reason. Perché non mi posso sposare con le ideazioni che ho. I don't know why I can't just accept it and surrender my desires to God. I know the smart thing to do is desist, just try to live as a woman until I become suicidal. Transition is last resort only. I don't know. I was okay before I started questioning my gender, I think. It is a smart thing to do, but I just can't let go of the small, glimmering possibility that maybe. Just for the same reason, I can't let go and surrender everything to God. No. You wait until you become suicidal. As long as life is livable, do not transition. Because until you are suicidal, you don't need it. I am not suicidal. I am okay. I want to die. Life is agony. Nothing is good. Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if possible the hour might pass from him. Father, if thou be willing, take this cup from me. However, not what I desire, but what you desire. Not my will, but thine be done. No, I want to die, but I'm not going to kill myself. So yes, I am not suicidal, but I do want to die. I would be relieved if you told me with sure certainty that I was going to die in a freak accident tomorrow. I'm not faking. This is real. Wait, what if I am faking? Maybe I'm just pretending to want to die. I don't really want to die. I'm just being overdramatic to get attention. So that I can make this whole thing a melodramatic event and delay having to surrender to God. I don't know why I can't just accept it and surrender my desires to God. I think it is because I am selfish, and am holding on to the idea that maybe it is okay. I am stubborn in wanting to live my life my way. I am being bad. This is why I am unhappy. True peace comes from surrendering our will to God.
The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the spirit is life and peace. Submit, therefore, to God. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind, to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them.
Ma perché? Perché no? Perché non mi posso sposare con le ideazioni che ho?
My father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou. Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it.
But what if I can be happy without transitioning? I should try before I ruin my life. Especially if God is not on my side. If I am running away from God, it will certainly go wrong. I will have horrible vaginal atrophy and permanent lesions. I will have very fast balding and grow no facial or body hair. I will not grow at all, and my bone structure will not change. My face will not change much either, and I will not pass. I cannot run away from God. He will find me. He will not give up. He will have his way. I will not win. I will be sad until I surrender.
There is no wisdom, no insight, no plan that can succeed against the Lord.
I will regret everything. My voice and receded hairline will make me want to die. I will have carpal tunnel from soft tissue growth without bone growth. I will permanently compromise the immune system and will acquire endometriosis. I will have some weird cancer and die. I don't know. Worst case scenario. No, the worst case scenario is having to live wishing I had never transitioned. I want to die. I can never be a man. I don't feel like one. I have a girl body and a girl voice. I'm a girl. A very sad girl. I can never be a man. I know there are people who say that they have been on T for many years, but the detransitioners say that it is not feasible. It is a lie. Trans is not real. And even if it is, I am not. I am not trans. I am a lie. And I'm just convincing myself that I'm a boy. And I am not even convinced myself. God does not see me as his son. He sees me as his daughter. I am a daughter. I am a girl. There is nothing male about me. I am just a masculine girl. I know. I just know. I cannot see it any other way. I have tried. Because it is reality.
On the contrary, who are you, O man, who answers back to God? For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
No, I do not see myself as a girl. I do not see myself. But I do feel at ease referring to myself with girl words. I am a daughter. I am a girl. I do not feel the guilt. I do not feel dishonest and dirty when I say those things. It is right. It is good. It is true. I do not want to be, but it feels right. It is correct. It is the right answer. Because it is true. If I say otherwise, I am faking. I am not trans. I am confused. And while it is true that I would prefer a male body and would very much like to have a penis, I do not feel that I need these things in and of themselves. I am really sad because the girl I like doesn't like me back because I have a girl body.
No, I am a girl, but I just wish I had a boy body. This does not mean that I was meant to have one.
It is horrible to think that, but it is true, I fear. It is terrible to think of, but the truth can sometimes be terrifying. But it is still true.
I'm not trans. I'm a confused butch lesbian. I mistakenly conflate maleness with masculinity, and have internalized misogyny, so I think I cannot have a masculine personality and be a girl and not just a cheap imitation of a man. I have a long history of being sexually attracted to straight girls, and am romantically attracted to a straight woman, and this is the real reason for my envy of Seal's male bodies. I was gender nonconforming as a child, and I wanted a male body and secondary sex characteristics. But that sort of went away as I grew up. I wanted to use male pronouns in early elementary school, but that went away too, I think. I envy male physical superiority, and I wish I had larger hands. I do not have chest dysphoria. I have merely made a sad attempt at convincing myself that I do. I do not truly believe that I do. Thus, I am not trans. I am a confused butch lesbian. I am not a butch lesbian. I am a confused feminine heterosexual girl. I have pride and do not wish to swallow the tough truth that women are supposed to be subordinate to men and cannot be masculine without being a sorry imitation of men, a hollow knockoff, inferior in performance, and not suitable in function. I'm not really even masculine. I just try to forget my feminine inclinations and impulses because I have learned that masculinity is superior to femininity. I'm also not even really attracted to women. I merely want to be so that I may avoid having to acknowledge the existence of the superior and superordinate male. The fact that I feel like being around males threatens my masculinity and pressures me to be feminine is proof. And I feel that it is impossible to be attracted to men as a masculine woman. And this is why I erroneously try to fill the shoes of a man, even though I have much too small feet, because I am not made to wear men's shoes, because I am not a man, nor am I intended to wear masculine clothing. I am feminine. I am heterosexual. I am a woman. I do not accept and embrace this because I am proud and wish to do things my way and feel good about myself. This is evil. All right. I can't disprove that. But you can't prove that it's true either. No, you do not know that. You cannot prove that nothing about me is evil. That's what you believe, but the Bible does not agree. What if I am not really who or what or how I think I am? You are right. It is good to be who you are, but you are wrong. It is not good to be who you think you are, if who you think you are is wrong. We don't determine our own destiny. The Maker makes our fate.
Yeah. I know. I know there are billions of other fish in the sea. None of them are her. If I just had one wish, I would wish for her to be happy, whether or not I can ever be part of making that happen. Because I like her the way she is, and if who or what you want is part of who you are, well then that means if I want her to stay her,
that I wouldn't want to change the fact that she doesn't want me. Because when they say that if I really care about her, that I won't hold her back from being true to herself, they mean that if I really love who she is, if I really love her, then I won't try to make her love me. And when I say that I want her to be happy, I mean her, and not some stranger who didn't exist until I made some stupid wish. I wish I didn't exist. I'm not a man. I'm just a freaking girl who's just sad because a straight girl didn't like her back. I'm not trans. I'm not even attracted to women. It's just a weird fetish and not a wholesome attraction like the one I should have towards men. I want to die. I do not wish to live. Screw everything. I want to die. I will never freaking ever be free. I don't know. I don't think they will. And if they do get better, it will be because I changed. I'm afraid. I wish I were a cis man, and I could be myself. Or maybe it would be somebody else. I wish I were a normal, gender-conforming, straight cis girl. Then I could be somebody else. Or maybe it would be myself? I used to say that I wished I were good at something, because then I could be somebody, and maybe feel like I had made it somewhere in life. But now I realize I just wish I were dead already, because then I wouldn't have to be anybody. And Christianity promises that if you just die to yourself, then God will give you a peace that passes understanding. But what I don't get about that is if the only way to be at peace with yourself is to end yourself, then what's the friggin' point? If I have to die in order to truly be alive, if I have to commit suicide by deity to get real peace of mind, then I really don't see why it would be preferable to allow myself to be evicted from my own existence so that somebody else can enjoy it. Because how can you insist that I just give up all the things I had ever wished, as if it's nothing to demand that I desist from everything I dare hold dear? No! You can't expect me to go along with this crap until you make it clear why it makes sense. Why would I want to die so that the self of someone else can live my life but with a peace I've never felt, when I could just skip the heartache, end it now, and just arrest in it myself? Who sinned so that this man was born blind? No one. Who sinned so that I was born seeing this way? It is better to enter life maimed than to have all of you cast into hell. If your right eye causes you to stumble in lust, pluck it out, all of you. Put to death all of your passions, all of you. A full body amputation down past the marrow to the soul. I want to bleed out all my sadness. Either bleed until I'm no longer sad, or bleed until I'm no longer. I'm a pervert, confused. There's nothing pure and everything corrupt about my desire. My God, this is what it means to me to be attracted to a girl. It means having to accept the cruel, mocking reality that it is depraved and ugly. The passion I would express for this girl, if such a divine beauty could ever want such a thing. It means having to accept that it is evil and twisted. The allegiance I would swear to her, if someone so good and so straight could ever want it. It means having to accept that it is only a grotesque parody of the noble thing, of which it is a contemptible imitation and a malignant fake, a humble as-seen-on-TV gimmick that reeks of the devil and false advertising and fraud. That it is all I am capable of giving, and, to speak truthfully, it is not really even that. My God, this is what it means to me to be attracted to a girl. God, why? 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 Perché non mi posso sposare con lei? Why can I be who I want? Why can't I? Why not? Why can I just have what I want? Why can I just have what? I can't just accept it and surrender my desires to God.
I think it is because I am selfish, and am holding on to the idea that maybe it is okay. I don't know why I can't just accept it. It is the smart thing to do, but I just can't let go of the small, glimmering possibility that maybe... I'm okay. I'm not suicidal. I want to die, but I'm not going to kill myself. Just for the same reason I can't let go and surrender everything to God. It is a smart thing to do, but I just can't let go.